There, does that? There. That's an expertise that is really impressive. And the fishermen, too, in the New Testament had a definite expertise. Let us read from Luke 5, the second reading, Luke 5, 1 through 11, about the fishermen and their expertise. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. And the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I'll let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning needing to hear your word. We thank you that you are here. And even as Isaiah met you in the temple, so we meet you here this morning. Help us to hear your voice and only your voice. And help us to follow you and follow that voice in all that we do. That indeed we would find freedom and perfect peace. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been totally in awe of what surrounds you? The most obvious example to me was when Don and I and friends of ours did the typical tourist thing in Niagara Falls and put on the yellow slickers and took the boat that goes to the bottom of the falls. Have any of you ever done that? The intense power of the water as it comes over the falls, comes over the brink, so totally invades your every sense. You feel it within you, and you smell it, and you see it, and you hear it, and the vibration in your body is very strong, and you can almost taste it. Wow, what an experience. And as I was looking at that, being totally overwhelmed, my first reaction is, wow, what I needed was a large screen like you folks have here of this experience to show in church when there is a baptism. It's life-changing. You know, just sprinkling on a little water doesn't have the same effect, right, as when you feel it and you realize this is a powerful thing that is happening. And so this would show the cleansing, incredible power of water, and the power of the water and of nature is overwhelming. But I also felt the overwhelming power of God as I was standing in that boat, surrounded by the waters of Niagara. Perhaps that's what Isaiah felt, something like that. When he went into the temple to worship, he was being overwhelmed by the vast power of God and knew how small he was as a simple creature in the face of such power. His mind stopped trying to understand and instead teetered on the edge of being overwhelmed. Philip Yancey, in his book Reaching the Invisible God, offers an important sight for understanding Isaiah's experience by interpreting the words of an ancient Orthodox mystic who wrote, "God cannot be grasped by the mind. If God could be grasped, God would not be God." Yancey responds, "We are profoundly different, God and I, which explains why friendship is not the primary model used in the Bible to describe our relationship. Worship is," he says, "the awe-filled experience when our lives are caressed and recreated in wonder." Isaiah experiences God in worship, and his response is shattering, humbling, astounding, and terrifying, but also maybe caressed. He is suddenly, passionately empowered. He sees how small and stained he is within the great sea of God's grace. Like Isaiah, God shows God's very self to us. God takes us, shapes us, and then God creates us for a powerful purpose. What Isaiah hears is the song of the seraphim. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." What is revealed is the full extent of God's glory over the whole earth. And how do we interact with the whole world around us, as if it is filled with the glory and presence of our Lord God? Before we arrive, after we arrive, after we leave, over the horizon which we cannot see, among those who are similar to us and among those who are different, the glory of God is already there before we get there, as it is already here in the worship of God's people. Simon Peter had a similar experience. He encountered God in Jesus Christ as he was fishing with his friends. The first four apostles were in the fishing business, and they had no particular religious credentials to commend them to Jesus. They aren't catching anything by themselves. But Jesus is there and tells them to put their nets into the deep water and let them down for a catch. Jesus interrupted the work of cleaning nets. After a long night with little to show for their efforts, Jesus tells Simon to go into the deep waters and throw the cleaned net back into the sea. I wonder if Simon thought, "What does a carpenter know about fishing?" I wonder if he thought, "I'm exhausted, and the last thing I want to do is climb back into that boat. I just want to go home." Did Simon want to roll his eyes? Did his attitude match his obedient action? He does object just a little bit, telling Jesus, "Well, we worked all night and caught nothing, but if you say so." Simon has a choice. Should he assume the presence and power of God in Jesus Christ and do what he says, or not? Is he a humble enough, like Isaiah, to face God and see himself as he really is, needing God's help? He decides to do what Jesus tells him to do. They put in their nets, and when it makes no sense to do so, they've been fishing all night. Why would there be fish all of a sudden? Yet, they were willing to follow Jesus and do what he said. That choice led them to a new, changed life. They caught so many fish that their nets were breaking. So when Jesus called them to follow him, they left everything and followed him. An important point in this story is that Jesus' power is not only over demons and sickness, but the sea and all creation. Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth, exhibiting power heretofore unseen or unknown. Jesus is not a mere miracle worker. He calls forth fish from the ocean and bestows the ability to catch people upon the disciples. Followers of Jesus are just that. Followers of Jesus, sent out to catch people for Jesus. Our lives are not our own. Both Isaiah and Simon Peter felt inadequate to the task ahead, yet the power of God enabled them to face the challenge that as they went forth. The fishermen experienced God like they had never had before. Like Isaiah, these fishermen said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." The irony, of course, is that in focusing on God in Jesus Christ, not ourselves, in obeying God's word, not ourselves, and following God, not going our own way, that we all but drown in abundance. First of fish, then of abundance to mercy, grace, love, and yes, joy. Not a spark of joy because of something, but a complete joy because of someone. In our ordination and installation of leaders, we celebrate those who today are saying, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me." They're willing to follow Jesus and serve him with the abundant power of God empowering them to service. And as we celebrate that, our filled God came to earth to live among us, gave God's very self for us, and cleanses us from our sin. Through these actions of ordination, installation, and when we celebrate communion, we remember that Jesus now also nurtures us, feeds us, heals us, and frees us, always to send us out to serve. We drop our nets into the deep chaos of life to witness to the realm and power of God in Elmira or wherever we're living, whatever we're doing. May we in all humility bow before God this morning, that God may also touch us and empower us and free us. To God be the glory. Amen.